After passing the bailout bill, the U.S. Treasury has found authority to dispense cash to banks across the country that desperately need it in hopes of convincing financial institutions to resume lending money to potential homeowners and other aspects of the economy. But what does it actually mean for the U.S. government to take an ownership stake in banks in return for offering capital to those same banks? Mark Landler joins us. He's the New York Times international economics correspondent. He's joining us on the line from Washington. Mark, thanks for being with us again.
Good morning.
This is a story that the Times is reporting, and it seems to follow similar steps taken in Britain yesterday. The U.S. already seems to own a lot of financial assets at this point, from AIG all the way through to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. What would this add to the portfolio, shall we say?
Well, I guess the most important thing it would add is the ability to take what had been in the case of AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, case-by-case decisions, and basically develop a systematic policy where the government could inject capital into banks, including banks that are not about to fail or in danger of failing, which is what you saw in the AIG case, in return for which the government would acquire an ownership stake. And the thinking behind it is that what you need to address to break the logjam in the credit market is the unwillingness, the inability of banks to lend money to each other. And one of the most direct and quickest ways to do that is to inject capital into them to improve their balance sheets and hopefully persuade them to resume lending. This is what the British have done. It's what the Swedes and the Japanese did in previous banking crises. And it's something that a lot of experts have expected to be the eventual step the U.S. will take. And now we're basically getting indications that, indeed, this is emerging as the favored option among the ones that have been already put on the table through the large bailout plan.
You know, with some benefit today, we don't have crazy volatility on the markets all across the world, so we can step back a little bit. Are these measures, and let's take them in total now, including the bailout package, are these measures stopgap anomalies and will eventually go back to the way we did business before? Or are we seeing a really broad, almost century-long march of the federal government's intervention into the markets to the point that, the markets actually are owners, part owners of the financial sector itself?
Well, there's no question that we're going to enter an era of profound change in regulation and probably greater government intervention in the financial system than we've seen in this country maybe ever. Although I never want to say ever, the Great Depression, there was a tremendous government role in turning around the economy. But what is interesting about this particular scenario is that if you look at other countries that have done it, notably Sweden, there is a precedent for governments going in, taking aggressive ownership stakes in banks, and then later when the situation stabilizes, and by later I don't mean a month later, but a couple of years later, the stakes are then sold, and sometimes sold at a reasonable profit. So it doesn't necessarily mean we have a permanently changed landscape, but certainly we have a landscape that's changed profoundly and for some period of time.
But Mark, at what point is it too much? How much is too much, and at what point is the market perhaps going to lose confidence that the government is going to be able to execute all of these things?
Well, I guess the question maybe ought to be asked, at what point is it enough? Because what we've seen so far is a flurry of measures, the most ambitious, most creative, most radical measures that anyone really contemplated. And the market's reaction to all of them so far before this morning was to continue to be paralyzed, to continue to be distrustful. And this particular action, it does have a precedent. It's not the first time anyone has ever tried it. It has worked in the past. And there is a growing belief that this may be the one thing you can do that's simple enough, it's relatively easy to understand, it's transparent, and it may be enough of a confidence booster. That doesn't mean, by the way, the government won't do the other things it was talking about doing. It will buy distressed mortgage assets from banks, which was, if you remember, the centerpiece of the bailout plan. And there will be some efforts to, mitigate losses on mortgages and foreclosures. So it's not that we won't be hearing about these two other options as well, but this particular one seems to be gaining a lot of traction in Washington and on Wall Street.
And so far, the markets are stable, but the question is, confidence or not, will the arithmetic work out right, whether you're measuring credit default swaps at $62 trillion or more the subprime mortgage problem, which is in the billions, hundreds of billions? The question is, will $700 billion be more than a drop in the bucket? Mark Landler, international economics correspondent for The New York Times, thanks for joining us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.